My name is Quill Taylor, and I have taken it upon myself to record my findings pertaining to the life of a young boy named Anthony Todd.
Is it on? I think it's on. Hi, I'm just reshelving some books, so I'll update if I find anything important. That's what this is for, right? That's what Abby and Sasha said it was for. Anyway. It's hard to reshelve books by backwards alphabetical. I have to keep singing the whole song just to get to the letter before. It's nice to have something to talk to. It gets lonely here. Now I know at least someone will listen to this. It's interesting that the person in this recording is already a past version of myself. I'm a new person now. Well, newer than I was a few seconds, minutes, however long ago. Changes every rotation are more drastic, but by the time I give this recording back to Abby, I know I'll be different. Maybe I'll have learned something new, or maybe I'll unlock a secret. Who knows? Morgorf has certainly changed, especially now that Martin's here. Oh, he's just so nice, isn't he? Maybe you haven't talked to him, but he's very sweet. He asked me about the library a lot, and he seems to like it here. I wonder if he and Quill are going to stay here after we defeat Eris. I hope so. I think Quill wants to go back home eventually, which makes sense considering they've been gone for so long. But I think they'll stay a little while after. They seem to like it here, and now that Martin's here, I hope they'll find a home with us. Morgorf is so nice, but yes, it is changing. Oh, Tim came in to the library. Did you know that? He actually checked out a book. I think he's the first permanent resident to come in since, well, forever. Oh, sorry. I bumped my cart. I hope that didn't make too much of a noise. I have no idea what actually comes through on this thing. Quill hasn't shown me any of their recordings, but I'm in some of them. They didn't record as much at their flat. I think that's because they're worried about Martin. I think they have a crush on each other. How cute is that? I hope it works out. I think they're quite good together. Quill certainly seems happier now that Martin's here. And actually, I think I am too. It's nice to have someone who enjoys the same kind of writing as me to talk about it to. Quill enjoys it too, but I think they're more of a history nonfiction type. But Martin likes fiction. More than I'd expect of a journalist, but I've also never even met a journalist. Only read about them. I read about a lot of different types of people. It's much different to talk to them in real life, though. Sometimes I wonder why the library is organized differently every day. It's pretty normal to me, so I didn't really notice it until Quill said something. I suppose most of the inside of libraries I read about don't do this, so maybe that's a thing outside Morgorf, being organized the same. It sounds boring, doesn't it? I mean, I can't imagine waking up and just having the same library as the day before. It's part of my day. I really like figuring out the patterns. Like, there's one day every rotation where every book in the library is a copy of The Great Gatsby. I love that book. I read it every year. The world that's portrayed in it is so interesting. Plus, any fiction set on another planet or in another universe is so intriguing. Oh, or the days that every book has a blank cover and the first page is changed. It's a fun guessing game to turn to a random page and figure out what book it is. I think I've gone on talking too long. I haven't really found anything yet. Sorry. I'll get back to that and start recording again if I find something significant. Just so the tape doesn't run out. Okay, bye. I found something! So, Essa, you told me to research power sources. The magical kind. I was actually looking into barriers a bit, like you asked me to, so I have some stuff on both. First off, power sources can obviously be used to make things work. Magical power sources come from channeled magical energy into a specific point, usually in the form of an object. A common way of doing it is by writing the words into a book. The book holds the magical energy in the words, and then when it needs to be released, the words can be read aloud, sort of like a gateway. The gateway usually closes when you finish reading. If all the words in a book are read cover to cover, it would actually drain the book of its power. So usually this isn't the best option, and it's not the most common one, Plus, books are really easy to destroy. Like, if you were to burn the book that contains the magical energy, it would either cause a massive disruption or disperse the magic entirely. I've found evidence of both, and I'm not sure if there's a 50-50 chance, or if one result is just fiction, or maybe they play into each other. I'd try it out if I thought it wouldn't be catastrophic. Plus, I don't agree with burning literature, no matter what it's for. It's a loss of important knowledge. Anyway, so, another way of channeling magic into a power source, and a way that's a lot more common, is putting it into something precious, either something with value to the person, or value overall. Historically, gemstones were said to be the best containers for magical energy because of their strength and their value. A couple historical rulers wielded magic imbued gemstones, in fact. When you channel magical energy into a precious stone, it needs to be kept near or on whatever or whoever is using it in order for the magic to be accessed. One thing to note, magic gemstones were said to be a sort of a myth at the time, despite the stories of rulers using them, but I've seen evidence of it existing now with Sierra. I wonder what hers does. She didn't use it on us. Unfortunately, there's not much record of where these gemstones came from or whose magic was channeled into them. I'll do more research on it. There were quite a few famous gemstones throughout history that I could find, but quite a few in the magical world means, like, 7 or 8, so not that many. Okay, but how does this relate to magical barriers? Easy answer. Magical barriers need a power source to remain active, obviously. So, when a power source is destroyed, anything that was continuously using power from it is also destroyed. Gems tend to preserve whatever they're powering because it helps. Well, think of it as a symbiotic relationship. The magic is trapped inside this tiny little space, and it wants to get out. When something lets the power out, we call it a channel in this case. The stone then preserves that channel so that it'll hopefully keep releasing magic until it's gone. A channel can be a person, or an object imbued with magic. But here's the catch. Magic seems to compound on itself. At least, that's what I've gathered so far. So, even when it's let out, the remaining space is filled by more magic. Consequently, it creates a feedback loop. The loop bonds with the channel and the source so strongly that if you try to remove the power source from the channel will likely collapse. If the channel is a person, I'm sure something horrible will happen. It's fascinating! A final note before I continue looking. My research is based mainly in historical fiction because, again, everyone thought it was a myth. But there's so many consistencies, so some of it has to be fact. Combined with anything you or Abby knows, we might be able to figure this out. Okay, I'll update soon. Bye! Hi, so I forgot to mention this when I recorded my findings last time, and I only remembered after putting the book away. It's a book detailing the elements, you know, water, fire, air, etc. And it reminded me, the color of each gemstone was said to correspond to the ability they carried. Not as a cut and dry, orange is fire, green is life, that kind of stuff. It was more about the concepts and feelings. Anger, disdain, loyalty, that sort of thing. Oh, there's some people outside. I wonder if they... No, they're just walking by. I thought they were gonna come in. It's been happening more recently. I'm getting my hopes up again. Anyway, yeah, that's all I wanted to know. I smell something. Almost like something burning. Oh, gods. Oh no, oh no, oh no.
Fire. Why is there a fire?
What?
Unwanted cow. What are they doing here?
What are you?
No time. Let me...
What are you doing? Stop.
I'm trying to help.
You're the one who's taking my memories. You put me to sleep.
I don't. That's not how it works.
Leave me alone. I can do this by myself. There. See? What? Ah. Come on. I have to get to the door. Help! Help me!
Liv, you have to let me. I can get us out.
What?
I'm taking the damage. You have to get us out of here. Go down to the Ark. There are tunnels. It connects to the caverns under the town. If you can get there...
I got it. Where's the door?
Hidden against the wall.
Got it.
Go, quickly.
Don't order me around. When we get out of here, we have a lot to talk about.
The Domestic Life of Anthony Todd is a podcast by J.R. Steele and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International license. The writing, theme music, and sound editing were done by J.R. Steele, and the script was edited by River Topler. Follow The Domestic Life of Anthony Todd on Twitter at Domestic Life Pod, and find The Domestic Life on Instagram at Domestic Life Podcast. Visit the website, penofsteel.wixsite.com/domesticlife, to listen, view transcripts, and meet our cast, or join our Discord using the link in the description. Thanks for joining us.